Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. You've been hearing about the tear gas at the border. I want to know in this show, how low can we go? How low can America go as we have tear gas of people seeking asylum at the border, children running away from gas that's illegal, chemical weapons and international warfare, and yet we're using it against children in diapers. We got the GM plant closing, firing 15,000 people. I don't think Trump's making us more competitive. We have a battle of words between the president and the chief justice of the Supreme Court going at it over Bush's, over Trump's belief that judges should be partisan, judges should ignore the law and should simply do whatever their appointing presidents want them to do. Now, we know that too often happens, but it's hardly something that you would strive for. We have, I'm signing in as I can't do two things at once, clearly. We have a race in Mississippi, a runoff race for United States Senator between a current appointed senator who is most well known for her Confederate past, not just dressing up in uniform and playing with Confederate weapons, not just someone who talks fondly about public hangings, but someone who went to a segregated school and sent her children to a segregated school while telling a supporter that they would do their best to keep liberals from voting. Keep liberals from voting. She's proud of her voter suppression efforts, I guess. Meanwhile, as the Democrats look to take over the House of Representatives, we still have a huge session left, a lame duck session, where they're going to decide whether or not to shut down the government. Trump has said that he wants to shut it down if they don't give him a border wall. Democrats have said that they might shut it down themselves if Donald Trump doesn't promise not to disrupt his own investigation, not to obstruct the investigation into his collusion with the Russian government, into his wrongdoing, including his past obstruction. Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, to his credit, still in the United States Senate. He's retiring, but the election to replace him with a Democrat, by the way. Those folks don't come into power until early January. Jeff Flake has said that if he can't protect Robert Mueller, well, then he's not going to vote on any judges for Donald Trump. Good for him. That's critical stuff there. We've got a lot to talk about. The president has set up new rules for the press. New rules to say who should be there and who should not be there, to specifically take away the freedom of the press that allows people in the press to ask him tough questions. Donald Trump doesn't like to be asked tough questions. Poor, poor Mr. President. It's so hard on the president. He's only president of the United States, and he's got to answer questions of journalists the way every other president has for the last 200 years? Yeah, he does. I don't think the press is going to follow these new rules. So this whole maelstrom is going on, and I'm here to announce that this is my third to the last show this year. I will be going back very soon, starting early in 2019, to do my service as a state representative in Virginia. I'm a member of the Virginia House of Delegates, and we start our session the first... Or is it the second? No, the second Wednesday in January, which will be January 9th. And so, as I always do with the radio show, I put it to bed at the end of the year. I'll be actually going on vacation through a lot of December. So this is my third to the last show. I'm going to have a show on Thursday, and I'm going to have a show a week from Thursday. But I will be with you as long as I can. I do want to talk about this lame duck session. I do want to try to figure out what's going to happen. It's interesting, you know, before an election, there's all this anticipation, there's all this work, and we are still that prior to the Mississippi election. And I want to be clear, I think the Democratic candidate, Mike Espy, he's got a tough time. I think he's a fantastic candidate. He is a relatively conservative for a Democrat, which I think you have to be in Mississippi. He's African-American. He's a former cabinet secretary for Bill Clinton. Very respectable guy. Running against a senator that's made no name for herself. She was an appointed senator. And she's most known for being pro-Confederate. But it is Mississippi. And although Doug Jones won in Alabama, he was going up against a child molester. Cindy Hyde-Smith is a Confederate sympathizer, but she's not a child molester. So you see, these are the choices among Republicans, I guess, in the Deep South. I think he has an uphill battle, but I don't think it's impossible. The election will be tomorrow, I believe, and you can certainly help and chip in. Polls show him behind. Show her ahead about 54-46, 8 points. That's a pretty wide margin. But we'll see. It's a special election. And it's my hope that in special elections, like with Connor Lamb in Pennsylvania, a whole bunch of Democrats will come out because they're determined to fight for our democracy while Republicans stay home. We will see. Anyway, I'll be right back right after this. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Over the weekend, our border authorities have been shooting tear gas at people seeking asylum. They were in decent numbers, but not huge numbers, outside the border in Mexico, outside the San Diego border. There were thousands of them, but please let's keep this in context. 100,000 people cross daily into the Tijuana San Diego crossing and back again. 100,000. We could process a few thousand. Instead, the Trump administration, which found out that it was illegal to stop processing asylum claims altogether, lowered it down to 40 a day. 40 a day. Well, let's see, for 8,000 people doing the math, it could take 200 days for them to get in. And there's no reason for that. We have plenty of people. And instead of spending $200 million to send troops down to the border where they can do nothing, nothing according to the United States Constitution, the Posse Comitatus law, nothing because what are you going to do, shoot unarmed immigrants? The border is there to prevent an invasion. And an invasion is not a child in diapers trying to get in the United States. Even if the diapers are dirty, that's still not an invasion. There's no reason to send the troops there. The troops not only missed their Thanksgiving, it's costing $200 million. Well, let's see. Let's say there are 5,000 people at the border. Divide $200 million by 5,000, and we could give each of them a nice $40,000 gift. Probably more money than these people have ever seen in their lives. And each for the cost of sending the military down there. Instead, we're processing some 40 a day, and the people got mad, and some of them got close to the border. Some of them tried to get in. I'm not justifying that, nor am I justifying those very few who threw rocks. But we responded with tear gas. Tear gas is a chemical weapon that is prohibited in warfare. It's been prohibited ever since World War I because you know what tear gas does? It doesn't stay in an enclosed area. And I understand the use of tear gas if you've got, say, in the Patty Hearst case, where you had terrorists in a building, holed up in a building with no hostages, who are shooting out of that building and trying to kill people, you might want to throw tear gas in that limited circumstance. I get that. This is not that. These are people who are peacefully protesting for the most part and would have been seeking asylum if they hadn't been told, sorry, we're not going to obey U.S. law. In fact, Trump went further and said, we're not going to allow you to even present yourselves at the border for asylum, which is allowed under U.S. law. We're going to ask the Mexicans to keep you from getting to the border to present yourselves. And the Mexicans, for whatever reason, apparently agreed. I hope they changed their mind. But if you're wondering why there's ruckus at the border, it's because Donald Trump changed the law. I take it back. He can't change the law because Donald Trump refused to obey U.S. law. That's a better way to put it. For all the people who complain about the illegals coming in the United States, yeah, I've talked with several people who believe this, and they say, well, you know, I'm not against immigrants. I just don't want the people who are coming in illegally. As if their concern were for the law and not just keeping out people of a certain culture. But if that's the issue, then why aren't they mad when the Trump administration disobeys the law? I mean, Trump has tried everything from separating parents from children to preventing them from seeking asylum at all, and to sending the military down there, all supposedly to act as some kind of deterrent. But you know what? It's not working. We have more people trying to cross in now than we had during the Obama administration. And what it tells you is that none of Trump's crazy tactics are working. People seek asylum not because they want to, but because they have to. People have to leave because they're fleeing violence. They're fleeing persecution. They're fleeing horrible economic conditions. You don't want to leave your home. It's your home. You leave your home only when you have to leave your home. So no matter how cruel Donald Trump is, despite the fact that children in diapers are being tear gassed, and by the way, when they try to run, I read that when you run, it asphyxiates you. You find it even harder to breathe because you breathe more rapidly when you run, and thus you take in more tear gas. These folks have their own stories that aren't different at all, are arguably much worse than the stories that our ancestors had when they came to this country, whether it was last year, 10 years ago, 100 years ago, or 300 years ago. Indeed, those that came 300 years ago had much less rights to come here. White people who came and took over Native American lands. That's another thing, by the way. I was recently at the Native American Museum, the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., where it's clear that immigrants, white people, mostly English people, came in, were uninvited, illegally, to our shores, whether it's the Pilgrims or at Jamestown, and the Native inhabitants had every reason to oppose them. Because the white people, unlike these folks coming in from Honduras or Guatemala, did not come in peace, did not come to just make a better life for their children. They came to conquer land. They came to kill the native inhabitants. And eventually they grew so numerous that they put the native inhabitants into reservations. They signed treaty after treaty after treaty, the white people did, and then the Native Americans, the Indians, so-called Indians, they kept the treaties, whereas our forefathers violated the treaties again and again and again. Eventually, from the Trail of Tears, we would march Native Americans from their native homelands where they've been for thousands of years, march them into Oklahoma. At least Oklahoma would become Indian territory until white people decided they wanted Oklahoma too. So the irony is that it is the invaders, the illegal invaders, that are the ones that are most complaining about Honduran and Guatemalan asylum seekers, right? It's that oldest generation, the generation that is the descendants of the Americans that have been here 300 years. They're the ones complaining the loudest. Why can't we be a country where everyone everyone has a decent shot, everyone willing to work hard and play by the rules. Give me your tired, your poor huddled masses yearning to be free. I thought that the Statue of Liberty was something that we all strive for. Got other issues to talk about, and we'll get to them after the break. I want to talk about the new report on climate change.
Back to the aggressive progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. How low can we go as a country? We've got so many things to have to deal with. The caravan is all over Fox News. They just love it. You got a few rock-throwing protesters. You have tear-gassing children. It's all the drama Trump TV could possibly want. And yet, I think you need to understand that this is a problem entirely of Donald Trump's making. Not the problem, of course, of refugees, of people escaping violent, horrible regimes and death squads and gangs and so forth. Now, that's been going on for some decades. That's not Trump's fault. People are coming here because they're running for their lives. But they're not trying to enter illegally. They're not trying to come and cross over the border. They're trying to present themselves at legal ports of entry. And let's remember that asylum seeking is perfectly legal. They're not trying to do something illegal. In fact, you can't call them illegal immigrants at all. They are merely immigrants applying for asylum. They've done nothing illegal. So what does Trump do? Well, first he tries separating their kids from their parents. There's still hundreds of kids, by the way, still separated from their parents. That doesn't work. Judge strikes it down. It's cruel. It's wrong. The American people don't love the idea of ripping a two-year-old child from her mother's breasts. So then he says, well, I'm going to send the troops down there. What does that do? Well, it costs $200 million. It denies the troops their Thanksgiving leave. And they can't do anything. Because there's no invasion. Because they're not confronting thousands of people marching across the border who are armed. And they're confronting three-year-olds in diapers. Seven-year-olds. And their mothers. You can't really shoot at them. And they're peacefully waiting for asylum. So what does he do? His next step? Keep them from applying for asylum. Well, judge said you couldn't do that. Once you're on American soil, you can seek asylum. It's U.S. law, and even the president has to follow it. So now he's going to use Mexican troops to keep people away from even going to the border to apply for asylum. Except Mexico's kind of a dangerous place, too. It's not as dangerous, perhaps, as Honduras. It's still pretty dangerous. There are gangs. There are dangers there. So, yeah, few refugees got angry. A few of them tried to storm the border. And when I say storm the border, I ain't talking about weapons. I mean, they tried to find a hole in the fence. Tear gas was shot at them. A few threw rocks. And the tear gas wafted into the wind and started harming lots of people. Most three-year-olds don't have gas masks. But had Trump simply allowed them to walk up to the border, along with 100,000 people that cross the border at San Diego, Tijuana every single day, I mean, this is our biggest border, folks. There are massive lanes open. No border. Brownsville, Texas, El Paso, no border. I dare say I'm not even sure the border between the United States and Canada, Detroit. No border has the number of crossings that happen at San Diego. They've just got lanes and lanes and lanes and lanes of traffic because people all the time go from California to Tijuana and back to California. You want to deal with all these thousands of people? Well, we already deal with 100,000 daily. But I get it. I get it. A border control officer can't process an asylum claim. There's an easy answer here. Don't send the military to the border at a cost of $200 million. Send immigration judges to the border at a much lower cost. And they don't have to be armed. Hire more immigration judges. The judges, by the way, immigration judges, are chosen by the executive branch. They're not even real judges, real Article III constitutional judges. They're just creatures of the immigration system. They work for the president. Hire a bunch of judges. I'm sure Donald Trump can find the most cruel, awful, terrible judges there are. And Congress can't do anything about it. The Senate doesn't confirm immigration judges. Send them to the border, process the claims, and if they end up having a heart, well, Donald Trump, you just can't stomp out everybody's heart. There are other things going on. I'll get to the climate change report in just a second, but first let me go to the lines. We've got Old Faithful, Michael, line two from the Bronx. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
All right.
Driving through rain, but I'm so glad. You must have been reading my mind, buddy, because I was about to point out that there's still that unresolved issue of the children being separated, not yet reunited under court order.
Yep.
Not yet reunited with their families after Trump just ripped them apart. So
he's looking at doing it again. Donald Trump is threatening to do it again.
And if Trump needs to do it again, then he's in defiance of not only the law and the Constitution, but in defiance of a doggone court order.
That's,
I mean,
true.
How many lists of impeachable criminal offenses do we have to list here? What he's doing is unconstitutional, unlawful, inhumane, and I guess I'm going to say it's unchristian. For all those that want to say, oh, it's a Christian thing, we're doing this to try to make America great again. No, you're not. Don't be hijacking my religion. Don't be hijacking the flag. The thing is, you know full well you wouldn't tolerate it if it was done to you, so don't you dare do it to anybody else. Donald Trump, I'm telling you all, wake up, smell the coffee, because Trump is definitely not America's cup of tea.
Michael, I take it you're a little upset about this.
Little is an understatement.
Thanks for your call, Michael.
I
appreciate it. Look, it's not just at the border. I know that Fox News thinks that's the only place anything's happening. We have a major climate change report that just came out. And it was going to come out a few days ago, but the Trump administration decided that they wanted to bury it. They didn't want any of us to talk about it. They wanted us to focus on the border. Maybe I fell for it. So they released this climate change report on Black Friday, on the busiest shopping day of the year, the day after Thanksgiving, the day that, well, let's face it, not many people are watching the news. And they did it on purpose, obviously. They wanted no one to follow it. They wanted no one to watch it. Now, this is, again, this is the Trump administration. This is people who used to work for the Trump administration. I still do work for the Trump administration. And they have said that, this is a direct quote, observations collected around the world provide significant, clear, and compelling evidence that global average temperature is much higher and is rising more rapidly than anything modern civilization has experienced, with widespread and growing impacts. What more do we need? Our sea level along the coast has increased by 9 inches already in just a century. Average temperatures have increased in the contiguous United States 2 degrees already in just a century. And if you tell me 2 degrees isn't that much, it's sure enough to make hurricanes a lot worse. It's sure enough to make fires a lot worse. Now, I understand why conservatives don't want to believe in climate change. I understand why Donald Trump accuses it all of being a Chinese hoax. Why Chinese, by the way? Okay. A hoax. And the reason is that it costs money when you have industries that do massive carbon pollution. It costs them money to clean it up. Koch Industries makes a lot of money off polluting the air. They don't want to pay carbon taxes. They're only multi-billionaires. They'd have to give up some amount of their wealth to not cause entire world destruction. So yeah, it costs money. But if you pollute, you should be paying for it. Anyone who doubts that global warming is real is someone who is intentionally lying to themselves. And you have to ask why they're doing it. It's one thing if you want to say that a carbon tax is not the right solution, some other solution. I happen to think it's a really good idea because it taxes the people who cause the most trouble and rewards people who have found non-polluting ways to make their products. But if you don't like carbon tax and you want to deal with it in some other way, fine. But denying that it exists, which Donald Trump and the majority of the Republicans, elected Republicans, do, is not only hiding your head in the sand because to avoid a problem, it shows that you just don't respect science, that you don't respect truth. And at the end of the day, that you really don't care about ordinary Americans. National Climate Assessment has warned that global warming will cause a 10%, could cause a 10% decline in gross domestic product. And you want to know who's going to be hit the most? The farm states, the rural areas, the people who most support Donald Trump. They're going to have more droughts, and they're going to have more floods and hurricanes, because heat helps both. And what are they going to do then? Blame Hillary Clinton? The fact that this report was dropped last Friday really tells you everything you need to know that the report is credible, believable, done by the Trump administration. Why did they want to put it out on the day when people would least find it? Black Friday. Day after Thanksgiving. This is some serious stuff. And when we talk about all the things that Trump has done, let's not forget climate change, something that has long-term disastrous consequences that are already starting to become short-term. You know, 500-year flood zones were designed because they were expected to flood every 500 years. Except we've had a 500-year flood in the contiguous United States every year for several years now. How low can we go? So low that we don't just disagree on policy. We start disagreeing on basic fact. That's how low. No wonder Donald Trump is trying to control the media. If you want to call in, it's your last chance. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. I'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar, and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Failed to say, and I should have in the report on climate change, that Donald Trump has said that he does not believe his own commission. He doesn't believe the people he hired, the scientists he hired to look at climate change and gave an exhaustive, detailed report. Yeah, he just doesn't believe it. You know, it's like hiring a mathematician. 2 + 2 = 4. Now, you have your view. I have my view. I think 2 + 2 = 22. Going back to migrants, though, also I've got a caller on the line to talk about what's going on down there. One thing I want to make clear before I bring my caller on the air. Oh, that's too bad. I was going to get to you, John, in Bentonville. Just hang on a bit. The other point I wanted to make was that the in dealing with asylum seekers, Donald Trump makes this complaint. He says we can do what he's doing, which is not to let them get to the border at all, which is a new thing. We've never done that before, and I think that clearly violates our treaty obligations following World War II to be an asylum for people seeking asylum, seeking refuge from violence. We can allow them in, and Donald Trump's proposal is to separate parents from children, which is awful. And we've talked about the hundreds of kids that may never see their parents again. Some of them are too young to even truly know their own names. They're infants and certainly don't know their parents. You may have seen the 5-year-old boy in a court. Doesn't speak English. Wasn't given a lawyer. Actually sitting at a table drawing. That's a mockery of legal proceedings. We can incarcerate parents with their children. That was another proposal of Donald Trump, except that courts have said it's unfair to incarcerate children at all, given that they don't know what's going on. They haven't done anything wrong. They have to be released. So what happened under the Obama administration is children were released with their parents. And Donald Trump says you can't do that. That's what he calls catch and release. Because they get in the country and they never show up for their asylum hearing. And to be fair, there are some asylum seekers that don't show up. How many you think don't show up? 90%? 80%? 70%? Half? You'd be wrong. Of all asylum seekers, only 11% did not show up for their legal proceedings. 89% duly showed up and made their case. And in a pilot program that began under President Obama to make sure people show up, to let them know what their rights are, to give them some idea of what the process they were going through, 99% attended all the ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement check-in and appointments, 99%, and 100% turned up for court hearings. Under this pilot program, not a single asylum seeker in the United States ran away and didn't show up for court. The Trump administration ended this pilot program last June. They don't want asylum seekers to show up in court. They don't want them in this country at all. And here's the thing. That's why you shouldn't be telling me this is about illegal immigrants. The immigrants are following the law. The asylum seekers are following the law. They want to enter at ports of entry, make their case, which and sometimes is a hard case to make, and sometimes is an easy case to make, given the brutality going on in Central America right now. They want to make their case, and they show up. It's just not true that they don't. All right, we've got a couple minutes left. Let's go to our new caller, Rob, in Mesa, Arizona. Wow, he's close to the border. Line one. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey, fine. Thanks, Mark. Hey, I just wanted to point out one thing, that Nicaragua is 90% Christian. Mm-hmm. So this is a Christian caravan. So basically what you have going on right now is gassing people at the border Yep. who are Christians.
Yep.
So this is a war on Christianity, if you want to go that route.
You know, it's a war on people who are brown. And
that's my point, too.
We haven't set up a wall across our northern border, which is twice as long as our southern border. I don't see people coming into Montana from Alberta being tear gassed. It isn't happening.
And, right. And then most of the breaches in the border are tunnels. So...
But the irony is these aren't even people trying to enter illegally. These are people trying to enter through our national ports of entry legally, according to U.S. law, which is asylum law. If Donald Trump doesn't think America should be a refuge for people who are persecuted, then he should present that and see how Congress deals with it. I don't think Congress would deal with it. I don't think Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz, who came here because their parents were escaping Cuba, would be really happy with a law that says, sorry, we don't accept refugees anymore.
even though we are a country of refugees.
And the other side of it is they could fix the problem by having people here illegally, maybe not as citizens, but just the work visas, get all that cleaned up, find the people who hire illegals. People who hire people
undocumented.
Who are
not. Here's the thing. Yeah. There are lots of different ways to do immigration reform. And back when Bill Clinton was president, John McCain, 28, 30 Republicans in the Senate were ready to do it. Democrats are ready to do it. Even recently, and there's a lot of pushback against Schumer and Pelosi, they offered to have some border security if we could allow the children who came here undocumented, DACA, allow them to have some legality. Trump refused it all. He's refused all legitimate compromise. All we can do is help vote him out. This is Mark Levine. Talk to you Thursday.